on the phone with us right now, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, one of the good guys of the newspaper column business, Jimmy Breslin. Hi, Jimmy.
How are you?
First of all, I want to find out, on Friday I got a call, you're going to Ireland.
Yeah, I didn't go, so why bring it up? I'm here.
What, they cancel your trip?
No, I just canceled it myself.
Oh, well, all right. Good.
There wasn't enough going on in those peace talks in Belgium, in Belfast for me to come.
Uh-huh.
And I'll have to make it at another time.
So what are you
doing? But not then.
So what are you doing, just taking the day off today?
No, I got to work. I had to go with these things.
Yeah, I guess you're going around promoting the book.
Doing this, and I'm writing another one and doing two columns a week, so I got enough to do.
Yeah, you're a busy man.
Yeah, I'm a legitimate working person.
What? Why now re-releasing the book? This was your first novel that came out back in 1969.
Yeah.
Why re-release it now?
I don't know. It was a terrific book in 69, so they're bringing it out again now. They were bringing out the paperback of... I want to thank my brain for remembering me, and they decided to have two of them out, so they picked, of course, the gang that couldn't shoot straight.
I want to thank my brain for remembering me. I know just before you went on the air, you forgot a few things there. You kind of got mad there at yourself when...
Yes. Yep.
But you're okay now.
Yeah, what day?
Now, what does it matter, Jimmy?
Yeah.
So
one's the same as another.
They are.
First of all, I got to ask you. You know, sports—it's one of your favorite things. Where does your loyalties lie? What's your favorite sport? Baseball, boxing, what? Football.
I used to love horse racing.
And horse racing,
but they ruined it. I mean, this off-track betting, these betting parlors.
Yeah.
In New York, they let the politicians into the sport, and that was it. Now you have derelicts crowded into these corner stores betting in these filthy, squalid places, off-track betting. And at the racetrack, you have 2,500 people. And now, in the late fall here, you'll have six horse fields running.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it isn't a sport anymore.
What was it like in the old days going to the track?
The old days, that I recall, I grew up at Aqueduct Racetrack. I went to school right behind it, and I lived there, and I walked hots for the Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the horse trainer. But there was a thing, it closed in November, and they came down to Florida, and all the two-year-olds arrived at Hialeah, and they started to train them to run races. The great bold ruler, I saw him as a two-year-old at Hialeah, getting off a boxcar from Kentucky. Start his career. And then they came to New York, and it opened on April 1st. And you had people anticipating it, January, February, and March. They couldn't wait for the horses to come back. It was a great scene. All that's gone. Now they're running horses in February, five in a race, 1,500 people, and the bums out betting in betting parlors around the town. It's no good. It's lousy.
Right.
It's gone.
I hear a cop car in the background. Where are you calling me from?
26 doors over Broadway Stories. I'm sorry that the cops are... it's a fire engine.
Oh, okay.
I'll shut the window?
No, leave it open. It makes it a little authentic.
It's like... Oh, it is authentic here.
There you go. New York ambiance.
You know... You had so many great stories. I saw you on TV a couple of weeks ago with Dick Schaap for the Classic Sports Friday Night Fights.
Yeah.
And you were reminiscing. You told an absolutely fantastic story about Rocky Marciano.
Yeah.
Because you wrote, I guess, for him the main event, that syndicated show back in the early 60s.
When we were broke, I would do anything, yes.
And you were telling the story, and maybe you can tell it again. Marciano used to come from Brockton, Mass.
Yep.
Into New York to do the show, and he was always dressed like a slob.
No, he came in worse than a slob. He looked like a homeless guy. He would come in on Sunday night and to start to do the show, or and sometimes he even had a commercial to do. He'd come in and with no clothes on at all. The producer would come, take one look, and said, "Oh, my God, we've got to get him something to wear." So they'd get him a suit, shirt, tie, and he'd have an outfit. He loved it. And then he'd come back the next week looking worse.
Well, he wasn't a dummy. If you're going to set him up with a suit of clothes, why not?
Sure.
I'd show up in my underwear if you're going to dress me.
He would have done that, too.
Yeah, You know, but seriously, on camera, though, even when, you know, you'd see him on he came across as a classy guy, but you're saying he was pretty much a slob.
No, just very cheap, extraordinarily cheap.
And he was a wealthy man.
He had money. He didn't have money like they have today.
But he had money. I mean, he, you know, jets it around, private planes, all that.
Oh, well, here's what he did. He let people borrow off him all over the country.
Really?
Right? At the rate of interest. And he'd go to collect. That was his life. And he'd go to a private terminal at an airport and stand there. And people would come up to him and say, hello, how are you, and everything. He'd say, great, wait, where are you going? So a guy would say, well, you're going from Fort Myers. The guy would say, I'm going to Chicago. On my company plane. Marciano said, geez, give me a ride. I'll go to Chicago. And he used to do that, and that's how he died. He died in a small craft.
That's right.
In Iowa.
That's right.
He obviously hitched a ride on.
Tell also this story, and I thought this was even a better story, the Al Wiles story, where he was in court.
And what, on the...
You were talking about it, when Al Wiles, who was his manager.
Yeah.
And about all the sports players that he was paying, I mean, writers.
Oh, that happened. That could have happened in Miami, too, you know. What happened was somebody had forged his name on checks. So the district attorney asked him to come down to the grand jury and testify he had never signed or cashed these checks, and to give it an example of his handwriting so they could prove it was that those checks were fraudulent. So Wiles sat in the grand jury in the hearing in the witness stand, and he said he never signed those checks. He looked at them, no way. Now they said, could you give us your handwriting? And he said, sure. He took an envelope out of his pocket. He signed his name. The district attorney took it, handed it to the grand jury. One after another, they looked at it, compared it to the checks, saw that the signatures were absolutely different. And then the last guy in the grand jury, number 23, turned the envelope over. Just for no reason, just did. And there on the back, it had, like, New York Journal American, $50. New York World Telegram, $75. The names, too. I can't remember the names of them. I mean, there's those that's Malign and the Dead, but of sports writers, boxing writers, and the payoffs they got.
Was your name on the list?
No. And, in fact, there was others at the New York Journal American. There was a conversation with the publisher and with Lou King, who worked there, and David Anderson, who now is the Pulitzer Prize-winning sports columnist for the New York Times. And he said, how come your names aren't on the list? And Lou King, who was our desk guy, said, well, you should fire us because we're not even good enough for them to bribe us.
did that happen a lot? Maybe it still does happen where you know, the bribes like that for publicity and payoffs, yeah, in the sporting. Does this still go on?
No. It's worse now.
It's worse.
Let me tell you how bad it is, how sick it is. Donald Trump gets in the newspapers all the time. All the time. Never costs him a quarter. He just calls these suckers up. They're so enamored of celebrities, these poor clucks that work on newspapers or television stations, that one phone call from them is better than money. They can hang up and say, Donald just called me. I'm serious. This is what we're living with.
Hey, we'd take his call.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy,
let me tell you something.
If Trump called, I'd take it.
Wait a minute, the two of you suckers. He's a nobody.
What are you talking about? I see him in Atlantic City all the time for the big fights, and he's spreading money around like...
No, he doesn't. Look out. OP, that's his game. Nothing comes out of his kick. Number one. Number two, he gets the money out of gambling down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's alone as a gambling impresario, huh? When you run a crap game, you run a crap game with people who run crap games.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And he wears makeup, and he's got a hole in the back of his head. He's got no hair left. I don't know what it is. If you take his call, you're taking a call from a nobody. He has nothing to say. Did you ever listen to him talk?
Yeah.
What does he say?
Nothing.
Right. So then don't take the call. Grow up.
Now, if somebody from up there called, whose call should I take?
Why? What do you want to call for? If the guy's calling you, it's only good for him and bad for you, so don't take any calls.
So what do you think about what happened to Pete Hamill?
Well, if that happens, you take those jobs, you lose them. know, that's all.
Yeah, but
I don't think it was surprising even to him. So
yeah, well, he seemed like one of the good guys that could go in there and do the job.
That doesn't mean that everything's going to work well in a newspaper with a publisher and he's got his own ideas and it didn't work.
Do you miss the days of all the newspapers in New York where there was like 6-7 newspapers up there?
Well, it's better because a lot of people were working.
Yeah.
It was better. But, you know, anything, any day you wake up and go to work is a pretty good day.
Yeah. What do you make, though, of, you know, today, especially in sports and in politics or anything like that, the reporter is now so critical of an athlete's or a politician's personal life, what he did, how he did it, should this guy be playing, is he a role model or not? You go back 30 years, and you didn't read stuff about the ball players and stuff like that.
No, I don't care about role models. I don't want anybody to be my role model. I better make it on my own or I'm dead. A politician's personal life is such that it shows him to be a hypocrite, I think is fair. I think it's a must. I think you don't know enough about them.
Right.
Should know more about them.
So you think that they should be the open book?
Oh, absolutely. In Philadelphia now, you have three people running. One fellow's supposed to be the favorite for running for mayor, and he's gay and hasn't told anybody. His boyfriend is running for Congress, and he hasn't told anybody.
Yeah, but do we really need to know which way the president's package faces, whether it turns to the east or the north or whatever?
Oh, I don't know that part of it.
That whole Paula Jones thing where they're coming out.
Oh, jeez, I can't even look at her on the television. I think she's a great comedy act with her blonde
advisor. If she was a little better looking, she might have more credibility, you know?
Got some face, huh?
Yeah, boy, like a truck hit it.
No.
My God.
No, I can't see that, but I could see if Clinton has got another broad someplace and it's bothering their lives, and who knows. And then he comes out with that straight angelic face and, you know, he's a liar. Well, if he's a liar about his own life, maybe he's a liar about other things important to me.
Look what telling the truth gets you. Gary Hart, you know, come on.
Yeah. I mean, he told the media, follow me around.
Let's be able to distinguish. I mean, Gary Hart was a fool. I mean, he had no judgment at all.
Yeah, but he had a good time.
Oh, I don't know. He lost an awful lot. With
he did.
Foolishness.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, you go back into the early days, you know, 20s, 30s and stuff. You know, we never told went in the papers that, you know, Babe Ruth had syphilis during the 27 season. You never read that, but I bet you if he was playing now and was wound up in the hospital, yeah, that'd be front page stuff.
Well, I don't mind knowing that. If the guy's got a clap, I don't know what's going on. But, let's go another way. Harold Wilson was the Prime Minister of England. Remember that name?
Yeah.
Prime Minister of England. The boss in 10 Downing Street. At noon one day, he signs a little note and says, I've resigned. He walks out of the place, and the newspapers received no reason. They didn't print any reason. They didn't know what to do about it. All these laws of secrecy they have and of libel. Nobody knew. The whole of the British Empire did not know why Harold Wilson left the job. Somebody started a rumor that it was over a secretary. They had no idea why the leader of the country left his job. That's because of the press refusing to cover personal things or not being diligent enough, alert enough. Well, what it was, it turned out later, it was that he took $10 million from North Sea oil interests, and he got caught. So he just resigned. But don't you think they should have known that?
Yeah. Well, there you go on the other side. That's the lack of reporting on the other end of the spectrum.
Well, the secrecy could destroy you. It's what you don't know can hurt you. What you do know, you know, and you make up your mind whether you like it or not.
Have you ever run up on a deadline for a column and thought, I have no idea what I'm going to write?
Yes.
What do you do?
You just put down, I have nothing to say today. this puts me different from other people who have something to say in 850 words and say nothing. But I say, I have nothing at all to say. And then you go into some, just talk.
About Trump.
He's not worth talking about or something like that. I'm telling you. There's a group of people that they write about and talk about and nobody cares. The ones that I say can't sell a paper, right?
Yeah.
Donald Trump hasn't sold a paper. Circulation's gone down. They carry all these stories about him. John Gotti was not that interesting to people. They didn't sell that many papers with him.
They didn't sell many papers about Gotti?
No, he's an overrated bum, really. And now you go to some other... I mean, do you have a newspaper and fill it with Barbara Streisand and see what you get? You get nothing.
I'd rather read about Gotti.
Yeah, I'd personally rather read about Gotti.
I'd rather read about some legitimate news reporting in Fort Myers that tells me something about Fort Myers I didn't know every day.
Oh, man, Jimmy, let me send you a copy of our paper. You'd tear it to shreds.
I know, I've seen it. yeah, but you know, the things that go on down there, it really should be looked at. I mean, or that could be reported on all the time.
Yeah, I know. I know. You know.
I went to a hearing in Lee County Courthouse there. That's your area,
yeah, of
right?
course. We're in Lee County.
Where they were having the fight between a Bonita Springs. I just was down. I stopped in.
Wish you would have come by the station.
Yes. I would have done a play-by-play. With Bonita Springs, they wanted to build housing for farm workers next to a trailer.
Yes.
Mobile home.
That was a big, big issue down
for
here.
For retirees. And I went to the affair in the courthouse, and you had all the Hispanics on the farm workers on one side, and you had the white retirees from Flint, Michigan.
Yep.
And
the blue hairs.
Yeah, and they were on the other side, each holding American flags. And with the Hispanics, they had children, and the baby started to squall. And the kids began to stamp their feet. And it had the older people crazy. The whites couldn't handle the noise of kids. I said, look at this. And they were going to lose the hearing anyway because they had no leg to stand on.
Right.
And the federal government had an observer in there that wrote the decision for the board. And it was over. But I thought it was an interesting day.
Yeah.
I didn't see enough reporting on it. I would have liked to have seen double what was in the papers on it.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So there's something there all the time.
You just got to figure out what it is and then write about it.
Absolutely. And I don't know. That's a long time ago, that thing. Now, there must be something else that's happened.
Oh, you know what the front page was? You know what the front page of the paper was all weekend long and the lead story on the newscast? What? They opened a new bridge.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you know what's kind of been interesting going on lately is Mayor Grady and his crusade against the news press.
Oh, yeah. Our mayor in the city of Fort Myers will not talk to the news press at all, won't talk to the newspaper.
And his answer to this is he's decided he's not going to talk to the news press. And since the people of Fort Myers need to hear what he has to say, he's taking tax dollars and is putting out his own little newsletter.
Like a little pamphlet flyer thing.
That's great. put out something that will be revolting.
Yeah.
And the newspapers can start to really get their energy up and go out and report on what's wrong in the city and around the surrounding area and pin it on this guy. You'll have him crazy. Obviously, with a move like that, he's a very dumb man. No, he is. And you could just... Without making any noise, don't argue, no confrontations, just write stories, and you will have him in a mental institution by January.
I think they're on their way.
I think they are on their way.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Jimmy, I want to thank you for the time you've spent with us. The book, it's been re-released, The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight. Everyone's high praise on it. It was a huge seller back in 69. I urge everybody to pick the book up.
It was Robert De Niro's first movie.
That's right.
Yep.
All right, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on.
Good.
Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.